matters before we begin. One, at the break, we will create the mentor groups. According to the registrations, there are 6 undergraduates who are still in the class. A couple seem to have dropped. And somewhere between 18 and 20 graduate students. There's a little ambiguity because some people are not on the roster. Basically, it means we'll have groups of 4, 3 graduate students and 1 undergraduate, which is a nice kind of group to meet outside of class. Of course, it makes coordination problems more difficult. What we'll do in the break then is, initially I think I'll create these groups randomly, but you know, I'm obviously flexible if there are particular reasons why people would like to work with somebody. Some graduate students and undergraduates might be friends, some graduate students might form a little caucus of their own, so I have no objections to people shuffling about. But I want to avoid the kind of playground strategy of people, you know, lining up and picking their teams. And that obviously creates all sorts of problems. Secondly, I sent an email around in response to a thoughtful email I received about discussion format and how we should proceed. Because there are some people seem to like, and others found it less productive than they would have wanted, the amount of time we broke down into small groups and then reconvened. Obviously, after one experiment of a single time, it doesn't necessarily follow that it'll be the same on each time, and it clearly will depend to some extent on the luck of the draw for a particular topic and a particular group of people. One thing I think it does mean is that in the small groups, it would be probably good for someone to either volunteer because they have a good sense of the material, or for the group to pick someone, to take a kind of monitoring leadership, you know, facilitated role within the small groups when we have that kind of discussion, just so people stay on track and the discussions work in some direction rather than just meander about as a conversation. Facilitating a discussion isn't an easy task. It's a skill like any other skill. But the suggestion that a couple of students made was that they would prefer me to give more extended lectures, even given that I've distributed the lecture notes, and that there be more questions and discussion in the course of those lectures, so that I'll give a piece of the lecture and then people raise questions and discuss the matter in the larger group. Now, my general feeling is we should just vary things from topic to topic, week to week. For example, on the next 2 lectures, which constitute a block on the expectation, perhaps the way to go would be for the first one on Wednesday to have the character of a more extended lecture, to get through more of that 2 lecture material in one sitting, with questions as we go. But then next Monday to allow more time for discussion with some small groups and reconvening. So I'm going to proceed by trying to balance the different tastes and priorities and styles. And then in a few weeks, we can take stock and see if on balance, one or the other, they should be given more prominence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to give a suggestion on how to go about, you know, like dividing up groups and stuff. Because one of the things that I found to be a problem was that a lot of people seem to discuss Burgoyne, the debate between you and Burgoyne. And I think there were like 3 questions related to that. And then the rest just sort of got avoided.
Right.
And then, so, I mean, maybe it could be that, you know, take for today, I think we had 5 readings. We could divide up, just for example, we could divide up into 5 small groups, and each group would discuss a specific reading that we had, so that we all kind of come to the table with discussions about the whole stuff that we're doing instead of focusing on just one thing.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's on the model that the discussions are discussions of particular readings rather than ideas that run through the readings. So particularly in this week, there's quite a bit of overlap between some of these readings because a lot of them were written by me, and my ideas, while they have evolved, they piece has to deal with some of the same stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually talking about the focus being on that meeting.
Yeah.
But that you know, obviously, I mean, everybody has read all the material
right.
and bring in everything from everything else, so.
Well, I think that's a good idea, and we could try that. And we could even try it in the form of designate, not counting off, but designating parts of the room for different readings. If too many people go to one corner, then they split into two groups. Which means that if there's some reading that nobody wants to talk about, it could be good reasons. I can certainly, on occasion, assign a reading that I shouldn't have, so. Shouldn't have in the sense that it just turned out not to resonate. So we could do it that way too.
Yeah,
so let's try that as well, I think. And again, I mean, I think it's obvious. This is both because it's a general principle about the world, experiment, and learning by doing and trying, and for any given context is the right way to go, rather than by prescription. And because in this class in particular, I think you always want the form of pedagogy and discussion to track the particular interests and needs and dispositions of people involved, and so we'll experiment. So give me feedback, both collectively, like now when you made the suggestion to the group as a whole, and individually, and don't feel shy about that. And I don't mind, you know, I'm thick-skinned at this point in my career, either that or impervious. I don't mind you even having a sharp criticism. You know, I'm really annoyed at the way something is going. Just tell me. Don't worry about it. Okay. Let's see. We now have Jorge and somebody else walked in wrong. Joe. Okay. Oof. Okay. What is class? The purpose of this first introductory discussion is both to introduce the specifics of the Marxian problem of class, but also to locate it within a broader terrain. This serves both to give ammunition to those of you who are in sociology and want to identify with and develop and use Marxist concepts, and you need ways of talking about alternatives within sociology, since concept of class figures so broadly. But partially it's a way of giving people some resources in various debates you'll encounter. But it's also because I think there's a really interesting intellectual problem when the same word is being used in so many different ways. How should we come to terms with that? Should we think of this